Hi, everybody, and welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me here today. I'd like to introduce you to a lovely co-host joining me on this week's topic, my friend Erin, who is a Reiki practitioner and who's also an intuitive reader who I've known for several years now. We met, in Berkeley at the Angel Light bookstore, and we've been practicing ever since. So thank you for joining me today, Erin.
You're welcome. I'm excited to be here and discuss the amazing topic that we're prepared to discuss today.
Yes, definitely. So for everyone listening, Erin and I are going to tackle the topics of grounding and protection. These are very crucial when you are about to begin your own intuitive journey or intuitive awakening. Of course, as you know, Erin, you know, methods and proper methodology and practice is super important when you're opening up to the spirit world, and grounding and protection are, I would say, key to being able to open, but also to being, you know, just smart practice in terms of like communicating with other light beings, you know, protecting your own energy. So we're going to kind of dive into these topics today. And the first one I wanted to tackle was that of grounding. So I'm sure everyone has probably heard this if you've been hanging out in the metaphysical community. You know, you'll hear people tell you, you know, ground yourself, but maybe you don't have quite an understanding of what that is. So I'm going to kick this off with just my definition of grounding. And then Erin, I'd like to know what you think grounding is as well, because it's helpful to get multiple perspectives.
Okay. So
grounding for me is really the act of balancing your spiritual and physical energy by connecting yourself to Mother Earth. So this is something that I do almost, I should be doing it every day, but I don't, but almost every day. But whenever I'm about to open up to the spirit world, whether it's, giving a reading or even with, you know, healing, because I think, you know, when you're doing healing, you should be grounding yourself prior to, you know, I sit down and I ground myself. And there are various ways to ground, but I would like to know, Erin, like, you know, what you think grounding is and why is it so important?
Yeah, so I agree with you. Grounding is connecting your energy, your energetic body to the earth. My belief in the reason to ground is similar, you know, to yours, like you said, to make sure that your energies are, centered, and that you kind of protect yourself from things, because you can, even when you're doing a reading, you can kind of fly out into, you know, another realm, or so it can feel like. I've done meditations in the past where I come out and I may not have necessarily ground very well, especially early on, and I felt very high. Like, I just felt like there was this head buzz. There was actually a moment where I kind of had to hold the wall because I was so dizzy. So grounding will definitely help prevent that, especially if you're doing a reading or trying to connect to higher vibrational energies. And you need to be able to connect as well as be able to, you know, discern, you know, energies around you. So grounding will definitely help with that. And also if there's negative energies attached, it kind of helps to send those into the earth to kind of be neutralized. And we'll go into that a little bit later, as I have a lot of notes on that as well.
Yes, definitely. So it is, you know, a very crucial practice. You know, if you are opening up your chakras, if you are, you know, giving somebody, you know, healing, whether it's Reiki or pranic healing, if you're just reading for yourself. But like you said, it's very important to start, you know, the practice, any of these practices, by doing that first. And you made a very good point by saying, you know, you want to keep your energy grounded here, because if you don't ground yourself, then you do feel very, I would say, like flighty. You feel like, you know, there's a floating sensation around your body. You kind of feel a little bit disoriented, or maybe more so than you should. Yeah. So, you know, doing actual grounding itself is just a very smart technique. And it'll help you be a little bit more, I think, help your energy be stable, to give you like a better reading of somebody and to provide like stronger healing. So I was wondering, if you could tell me like some of your own techniques that you use to ground yourself before either giving, you know, a reading or healing someone.
Yeah. So one of my favorite techniques, and there's multiple, and everyone, just to put it out there, you can do different things on your own to ground. But like if I'm going into a reading or doing doing Reiki, I always like to visualize roots. I'm very much into like nature and forest. So I always visualize roots coming out of my feet. And, you know, it might start off as one root and then, you know, that one root turns into three, which turns into six, and then it just multiplies. And then I visualize it going deep into the earth, connecting to like a core, which is like a, and this is actually a technique that Deanna actually taught me years ago, where it's like a giant ball of energy in the center of the earth. And so I've always seen that. And then I connect to that ball of energy, and that's like the first step to ground. And I visualize that energy coming back in through my body and kind of cleansing me out. And then it's, for me, I like to do this kind of sending the energy down to the earth from the heavens, and then, you know, reverse that coming from the center of the earth up to the heavens. So it's just a way I do to kind of cleanse my energy, balance it out. And then I always end off with the energy going back down into the earth. So that way, you know, if I'm doing a reading, I'm picking anything up, it can be centered and sent back to the earth to be neutralized and out of my space.
Yes, I you know, I do the exact same thing. For me, there's like two ways I usually practice grounding. And the first one is just like you said, I always visualize roots coming out of my legs, my feet, and going all the way down into the center of the earth. But I also see these roots expanding across the entire earth and going all the way into the center. And I can feel, it's kind of funny because years ago, I mean, obviously, you know, the more you practice, the more things kind of shift when you practice later in life. And so I never used to feel any type of energy when I would do grounding. But now as soon as I see in my mind's eye these roots going down into the center of the earth, I can actually feel the vibration on my feet and through my feet and like through my legs. It's very powerful. And I'm not someone who grew up with, you know, a deep connection to, I don't know, the forest people or, or, you know, things like that. I've never been, you know, somebody to dance under the moon naked. When it's a full moon, nothing like that for me. But the one thing I can say over the past couple years, now that I've been able to, you know, feel, when I'm grounding, like feel that vibration come back from Mother Earth, it's a strange thing. Like I've been trying to, you know, on the down low, you know, connect to Mother Earth more. But yes, grounding, I think, is a powerful way to do that. A couple of other techniques that I do, if I'm starting to feel a little flighty as well, I imagine in my mind's eye, like there's a cord with an anchor on the end attached to my root chakra and sometimes also to the sacral. And I drop that down to the center of the earth to keep me like anchored into the earth as I'm about to give somebody a reading. That's another method I try to do if I'm still feeling like a little spacey.
Yeah, I've actually done something very similar. So what I'll do is like, if you imagine there's like a belt around your torso and there's maybe like 6 to 8 ropes coming out of that belt. And then each rope has a hook. So I visualize that going around, around the earth and just hooking me into the earth. Like I'm on the top, the hooks go to the bottom and then it kind of pulls me in. So it keeps me grounded. That's one of the ways I've done it as well when I feel extra flighty.
Yes, for sure. I think a couple of other techniques I'm going to throw out there. And if you have any more, let me know. If you're feeling, you know, again, that you need to ground for whatever reason, and none of those techniques are working for you, you can actually go outside, take your shoes off, and put your feet in the soil. This is something that you can use as another method to, you know, either connect to Mother Earth more, but also to feel that soil between your feet will help, you know, ground your energy to the earth.
And definitely.
Yes, for sure. And I did that. I actually did that this morning, even though there were like bugs everywhere and it's super humid out where I am today. I did that yesterday and today just to get myself back, you know, to be connected. The other thing you can do, and I know people are going to get mad because I've had some negative responses when I've told people to do this. But if you're feeling very, I don't know, lightheaded, you should eat red meat because that's one of the most grounding things you could eat. Red meat and root vegetables, because they all, you know, it's like earth-based stuff. And a lot of people get mad when I tell them to eat red meat. They're like, no, don't do that. That's wrong. And I'm like, well, how is it so wrong? You know, but red meat, well, even after you give a reading and you feel really tired, red meat helps to reground your energy. So I'm not really against that.
Right. You know, I'm the same. I mean, you know, don't go and, you know, eat a whole cow, but, you know, some red meat or red meat will definitely help. I'm huge with potatoes. I love root vegetables. So I definitely agree with that. Other ways that, you know, I would throw out there, just because I know if some people are getting started, they may not be able to, you know, distinguish what energy feels like and things like that. But, you know, in addition to, you know, walking into the earth, which I actually just learned of the term earthing, which
yes.
I had not, you know, really heard before, you know, just preparing for this podcast. But earthing, it's a new term. It's pretty much just walking barefoot in, you know, anything, dirt, sand, grass. I guess the bugs, you know, you did this morning. But other than that, you know, bodies of water, standing or swimming in water, that's definitely a good one. If you don't have one nearby, you know, take a salt bath or just run your hands in water. I've done that a bunch of times. If, you know, I'm at work and I'm just really stressed, I just go to the restroom and, you know, just kind of soak my hands in the water for a minute and visualize all the negativity being sent in, you know, into the water. So another one is grabbing a tree, you know, just hold on to the tree. It's very grounded and, you know, trees are help to conduct electricity and we are pretty much electricity. So that's a good way to help ground as well, that I've done here and there when there's a tree nearby.
Yes, that's a very good technique. And I know people probably feel very silly, you know, doing that in public, but I did that. I used to do that all the time when I lived in California, and I would go run and stop and hold on to a tree and pretend like I was stretching, but I would hold on to the tree for a while. And
I'll do stuff like that too. I'm like, oh, this is a cool bug. And then I'll just kind of hold on to it, and, you know, try not to look so awkward, but I still, yeah, I love it. I was out at a hike yesterday morning, and, you know, there was a group I help out at a local museum nearby, and they were talking about the redwood trees, and I was in the back, you know, so I just kind of like held onto the tree and just like I was listening, but I was really like trying to ground my energy and connect to the earth that way, which is really great.
Yes. So that's that's a very strong, I think it's a great practice to incorporate if you are, you know, just moving along this path, or even if you feel just in general, kind of out of your body, you know, like you said, putting your feet in the dirt, holding onto a tree. I think those are very good methods for people to use. But, you know, I have to laugh about the next thing I'm going to tell you. So when I did some more research on grounding, there was one common thread in like all of these pages and blogs. And people said, if you want to, you know, utilize an additional method to ground your energy, eat very dark chocolate.
I've never heard that one.
Yes, like not milk chocolate, not like even 50% dark, like the 80% dark chocolate, the super, super bittersweet. I used to, just a stupid side note, so I used to eat this at work 5 years ago a lot, and the guy that would work next to me, he ate milk chocolate and I would eat dark chocolate, and he always told me I was eating caca. So
I mean, if it's 85% or more, it's you know, it can relate to me, you know, but I actually don't eat dairy, so dark chocolate is pretty much all I eat, but sometimes it's like mixed with sugars and things. And I think the most bitter that I can stand is like, what is it? 73%, 72%. But I do love to eat dark chocolate here and there. Or like dark chocolate, coffee beans or berries or something like that is always nice to eat. But, you know, sometimes there's some excess sugars and things like that, which depending on your diet may not work too well with you.
That's very true. But I read this, like it's a common, it was just a common practice that I read online, even under these like earthing, you know, blogs I've read as well. Everyone consistently said across the board that eating very, very dark chocolate helps to ground your energy. So just food for thought if anybody's looking for, I don't know, another way to ground themselves. That's pretty cool.
That's a good one. I really like that. Glad you found that.
Me too. And the last thing I will say personally, in terms of another way to ground, is by exercising. I mean, if you think about it, there's nothing more you can do, you know, than be present in your body when you're exercising. So it forces you to be focused in the body. So if you, again, are feeling very lightheaded, like a floating sensation, et cetera, disoriented, you know, exercising will actually kind of snap you back into reality and into your body.
Yeah, definitely. It helps to move the energy around. And if there's any blockages, that's definitely a number one way to help to remove them. So definitely suggest exercises.
Yeah. So I wanted to say actually, I wanted to give people some assistance with grounding in terms of maybe some stones or crystals that they could use to help them if they're struggling. If, let's say, they tried all these methods we threw at them and they still don't feel like they're 100% effective, I think people can consider some of the stones and wear them around their neck, wear them around their wrist, you know, whatever, to help ground their energy further. So I will, you know, I don't know if you know a few, but I'm going to just state a couple that I found and that I found to be, you know, helpful. And the first one is red jasper. That one to me is, I think it's the universal grounding stone. And, you know, you can actually get it really cheap and get really big pieces, but holding on to that or even wearing that around your neck will help to kind of stabilize your energy as well. So red jasper is my go-to. And then the other one I found, which I thought was great, because I think this stone has multiple uses, but smoky quartz. Yes. I actually love this stone a lot, just in general. It's a gorgeous stone. But again, you know, you can hold on to the stone to meditate and then imagine those roots coming, you know, from your legs and feet, et cetera, into the earth. So if, you know, if you are somebody who has an affinity for stones or crystals, you might want to consider going this route. So what stones did you find that would help people?
Yeah, I would. I will say jasper and smoky quartz are definitely on my list. I haven't resonated too much with jasper. So my preference actually is obsidian, black kyanite, or black tourmaline. Obsidian for me is actually one of the first stones I remember buying, and I still actually have it to this day. It's very calming for me, and it helps me when I feel just very chaotic. It definitely, you know, helps me feel connected to myself. Black tourmaline, that one's a very protective stone. It's widely known and widely used to protect yourself from negative energies. So I definitely recommend that one. I believe it helps to transmute negative energies into positive energies. And I have a coworker who's very empathic, and I actually bought her a bunch of these stones this last holiday season. And she said it helped her very much. And then the black kyanite, that one is very grounding. Kyanite's also a stone that doesn't necessarily need cleansing. I tend to cleanse it just because I feel like, you know, all my stones need a little bath here and there, but it is known as one of them that don't need to be, you know, cleansed, just because it's very, very positive and has a very high vibration.
Nice.
So, you know, definitely helps. I've used it. I actually have a blade that I used to put during, you know, some heartbreak time a few years back. I just set it on my heart, and it always made me feel very calm and relaxed. And I was actually even told in another reading that kyanite helped me to heal a lot. So definitely for grounding energy and protection, black kyanite. But just to kind of put it out there, you know, for, like I had just mentioned to Dina here, that jasper didn't resonate with me. So there may be some stones for people out there that just don't fit. Hematite, I'll throw that one out there as well. That one's a good grounding stone. But it's also, I've read that it's like a stone of the mind. And I remember every time I would buy this ring and I'd put, you know, the hematite rings on, they would always break. And I noticed that whenever I would wear them, I would always kind of, if there was something going on in that time period, I would just overthink. And it just, all of the emotions of it would just kind of come to the forefront. And then I take it off, and then 30 minutes later, I feel calm. So that's one, you know, definitely helps you ground, but it also brings up all of the stuff that that you might be avoiding. And it'll definitely make you confront it, which for some people may not work too well. You know, if you're trying to, you know, go through things slowly, for me, it actually just kind of brought it to the forefront very quickly, kind of like malachite. And eventually, once I worked through things, I was able to wear a hematite stone. And I think I had one for about a year. And eventually, at that point, I ended up losing it as well. And sometimes when stones break or you lose them, it just means they're you know, finished helping you and healing you. Or one thing I've heard is that if a stone breaks, like, you know, the ring did, it's kind of taking a hit for you rather than you having to feel the pain. It'll you know, in a way, take the pain for you. So that's just another little tidbit of cool information that I learned and experienced a lot when I was going through a lot of stuff.
That's interesting. Or if the stone breaks, maybe the stone just hates you. No, I'm kidding.
That might be my case.
It says I hate your energy.
For sure.
But no, I've heard the same thing too. Like, for example, yes, if your stones break, then either it absorbed all the energy for you, and then if you didn't cleanse it, some, you know, it might just break in half because it's on overload, or maybe it's just done with you. I'm not really sure, but
yeah.
But you're absolutely right about some stones not resonating, because for me, for example, like yes, red jasper does resonate, but in terms of like black stones for grounding, like jet for me, it doesn't really resonate with me. I would hold it and not really feel anything from it, but black tourmaline, I do connect with that stone quite well. So again, like there's just certain things that will resonate more with you and that'll connect more with your energy. And I guess, you know, there's, and I don't know if it's just a vibratory thing, you know, but there's just certain things that will be more effective for helping you out, you know.
Well, I like to think of them as, you know, just like people. We have people we connect with and people we don't connect with. And, you know, if you see a stone and you think it's a very beautiful color and you go and grab it and it just feels weird, you know, go on to the next stone. Or it may even be that it might, like for black tourmaline, for example, you might see a really cool stone, you pick it up and it just doesn't feel right. But you see another black tourmaline, you pick it up, and then all of a sudden you can feel the vibration from it, or a spark or something from it. So it just depends on the stone itself. So if you are going out there, personally, I like to choose stones in person. I don't like to order them online very much because I like to feel the energy. And there have been times where, you know, I'll pick something up and I just feel a bolt of electricity and I'm like, this is mine, you know? So you got to kind of just see what works for you. If it is just the color and you just think it's a very beautiful stone, like for me, malachite is, I tend to want to just buy all of them and I love the way they feel, but just caution for malachite, that really helps you go through stuff very quickly. So if you're not prepared for that, I would suggest maybe going with something softer like rose quartz or something like that. But, you know, just some tips on purchasing stones.
Definitely. It's very helpful. So you guys, I just wanted to give you some, you know, possible indications or signs that maybe your energy is not grounded. So if you're not sure, you know, let me tell you, number one, one sign that you might, you know, be ungrounded is, you know, feeling lightheaded. If you, you know, practice this type of work, if you are a healer or if you are psychic and you kind of give readings and you still feel lightheaded, either during the reading or after, you probably are not grounded. It's a very common sensation for healers and for readers. If you feel, again, like, you know, you're floating, that is a telltale sign that you're kind of out of your body, which isn't necessarily super bad. But once you're out of your body and after the reading is over or the healing session's over, you need to bring it back into the body. So make sure that you find a way to ground yourself. Feeling shaky or feeling just disoriented, you know, again, very clear indications that, hello, you're just not grounded. So find a way to ground yourself. Try any of these methods that, you know, Aaron and I threw at you today. And hopefully one of them will be very helpful. But practice this prior to opening up to spirit and the kind of, you know, any type of work that you do. Just practice grounding and even practice just doing it every day for yourself, because it's super helpful. Okay, so now, Aaron, we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk about protection. And this is super, super important because whenever you're doing any work with the spirit world, protection is key. And I know that right now there are like a bazillion books on ways to protect yourself, but there's nothing like getting, you know, advice from two mystics. So, you know, we're right. Going to give, you know, our stories and our own advice on protecting your energy. And this is something I feel like, from my own personal opinion, Aaron, from books that I've read, like from Sylvia Brown and from Doreen Virtue before she became a hardcore evangelical, and from even Sonia Choquette, of people that I've read, they don't really emphasize a lot about protection. It's almost like fairies and unicorns sometimes, with the exception of Sylvia Brown, you know, I feel like she was in the nitty gritty, but it is so important for you to shield yourself from other spirits and other energies, because you have to remember that everything is coexisting. So there's light and dark coexisting on this planet for many reasons. So shielding yourself in some capacity is super important. So I was hoping that you could, throw out some of your own protection techniques that you have utilized in your practice.
Yeah. So I think it's one of the basic ones that you probably will see anywhere you research is a bubble of white light. I like to do that, and I visualize after grounding, because anytime I do any sort of protection, I always have to ground. And I'll visualize just you know, a bubble of white light and maybe egg-like or egg-shaped, I should say, around you. And for me, it's always like a golden, like a golden shimmer. That's the simple one that I do. Another one that I've done, and usually I'll do this one when I just feel like I'm going through a lot of stuff. But my way of protecting myself from other people's energy is I'm just visualize yourself like standing wherever you are, and there's like a moat around you, and you can make this moat however big you want. And for those of you that don't know what a moat is, it's just think of the body of water around like around castles. And so I'll visualize a big moat. And so if any negative energies come towards me, they will fall into the moat and then they will go into the earth. But even more so to protect myself is I'll visualize animals. And I have animals that I specifically like to work with. One of them is a wolf, which I'll put to one side. I put an elephant in front of me to help me, you know, overcome boundaries and, you know, remove any obstacles. And then I'll put a bear on the other side of me to help me stand my ground. And then sometimes if I feel the need, I might put like a hawk or an eagle on top of me just to kind of help protect me from the top as well. And then I'll just kind of, you know, work with them, and I'll talk to the spirits and or my animal spirits that I set there, and they kind of tag team all around and help me to protect myself from negative energies. And that for me has been one of the real ways of protection that I feel just feels right to me and resonates with me, just because I do connect with animals. So those two are the ones that I've basically done just for myself.
No, I think those are really great. And as you said earlier, using that bubble of light is probably the standard, you know what I mean? So I think most people kind of relate to that, because even for myself, as you said, in terms of the process, I ground myself first before I'm, you know, about to meditate. I do some breathing in and out, and then I always place a bubble of light around myself. And sometimes I'll make it, you know, I'll put like three bubbles around myself just to make it even stronger, so nothing comes in and affects my energy. So I think that is kind of like the gold standard. That's what everybody, you know, usually goes to in terms of protection. But just another way that I personally protect myself. And as you said, you feel very connected to the animal kingdom. Well, I feel very connected to the archangel kingdom. So sometimes when I need that extra protection, what I will do is call upon Archangel Raphael, Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, and then Archangel Uriel. And I'll put one of the angels in front of me, one angel behind me, and then the other angels to each side of me, so that their wings are like surrounding me and protecting me. And so I'll do that sometimes as my own protection technique before I get into opening up my chakras and, you know, starting to do a reading or even reading for myself sometimes. So I think those are kind of, you know, the ways that I do it. But another way that I used to do it, and I haven't because I've had some not scary experiences with it, but I think I need to do some more thinking before I do this again. So the way I used to do it, I used to imagine in my mind's eye a pyramid of light, a large, large pyramid of light. And I would go walk up to this pyramid and I would open the door, and then I would sit inside this glass, very bright pyramid, and that would be my protective shell. However, the one thing I kind of noticed by doing that was that, and I think this was a very big learning experience for me, was that pyramids amplify your energy. So, yes, you know, sometimes it would be the experience and the energy would be way too strong for me. And I think I learned, that's probably not the best strategy yet for protecting myself. If I want to, yes, amplify my energy and raise my vibration, then I might step into that. But I've stopped doing that. And I pretty much either do the archangel route, or I will go like the bubble of light route. And I feel like those are my go-tos. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. I actually like Archangel Michael a lot. I always feel like I resonate with his energy, even more so than Raphael. I remember when I first started this journey, I was calling on Raphael a lot because he was an angel of healing. And, but once I started to really look into Michael, it was more like I felt a connection, and I actually got signs. That's what it was. One day I saw like literally Archangel Michael three times within like a 4-hour span. And that's when I knew it was, and not see him visually, but just, you know, the name, there was someone that you know, I had seen with a t-shirt or something like that. And it was just kind of obvious that, hey, this is who you're supposed to work with. So definitely, I think angels, if that's what you believe, it's definitely someone you can work with. But it doesn't necessarily have to be angels. You can be ascended masters. I also have a tattoo of an elephant that I ended up getting because of Ganesh. So it was another thing where I just saw lots of signs, and it made sense to me. So you don't necessarily have to just stick with angels. It can be, you know, any type of deity that you feel works with you.
Yes. And that's completely true. Like you're saying, there's no wrong answer here. You know, it's right. Whatever resonates with you and allows you to kind of put some sort of shield up between yourself and other things to protect yourself is what's, you know, what's effective for you. So the one thing I wanted to ask you, and you're probably not expecting this, but I wrote this down. So, Aaron, I'm going to throw a curveball your way. So What are we protecting ourselves from?
Why actually, are we doing this? That's a great question, because I was just about to ask you the same thing because we haven't chatted about it. But I'll go ahead and answer that. So, I mean, we're pretty much protecting ourselves from a lot of things. So, you know, all of us here, you know, we're going out to the store, we're going to work, we are driving, and if you live in any, you know, metropolitan city, you're probably driving with angry people. So we're pretty much protecting ourselves from all of those energies. So, for example, me, you know, I drive to work, somebody honks at me for no reason, you know, that's just some negative energy sent your way. You get into work, you get yelled at by your boss. Doesn't necessarily happen to me, but just saying, you know, that's some negative energy. You might just be walking in, you know, in the grocery store, and there's someone that's walking by you that's maybe severely depressed or very angry. Usually you can sense those, at least I can. I can just kind of feel somebody, you know, if they're just really, really in a extreme negative state, you might pick up on some of those energies as well. So essentially we are protecting ourselves from, you know, maybe negative thoughts. If there's someone that's really going through some bad stuff, you might, you know, absorb their energy just by walking by them, because, you know, when you're doing this work, you're a being of light, you're very positive. And if you guys are very similar to me, and I assume Deanna as well, you might be sitting somewhere and just a random stranger starts coming up to you and talking to you. And usually it's those times where you're just like wanting to be by yourself and don't want anyone to talk to you. You just start attracting all of these people. And sometimes it may be, you know, a great conversation. Other times you might just want to, you know, run really quickly and just like get out of that situation. So you're protecting yourself from other people's energies. And actually, let me tell you a little story about a friend who's very, very empathic. And I sometimes, if I'm texting too much or if I'm not typing in the correct way, I'll have like carpal tunnel or sometimes shoulder issues. So I would go to my friend's house, and this happened maybe 20, 30 times already. And she tells me, she's like, oh my gosh, you know, my wrist hurts. And I remember when it first started happening, she's like, I don't know why, but my wrist all of a sudden started to hurt really bad. And, you know, over time we realized that every time she was getting into my car, she would pick up on, you know, any pain that I was having. So she was very empathic. So, you know, protecting yourself from things like that is very important as well. So essentially just other people's energies, other situations, energies, your home. If your home is, you know, if there's an argument in the house, you know, you need to clear yourself of that energy, because that energy will stay there if you don't clean it out.
Yes. So. But this is a very good point. Like, if you are an empath, and my, you know, assumption is that a lot of people who are listening to this podcast are natural empaths, then you have to, you know, have some foresight, because usually in your life, when you're around people and all of a sudden you absorb their energy and you come home and, you know, you all of a sudden feel, I don't know, angry, something out of the ordinary. You know, if you had a great day and all of a sudden you feel really angry or sad about something, you've usually absorbed other people's energy. And maybe if you already know an empath, if you already know that you are an empath, then you probably know that you are prone to absorbing and carrying, you know, some people's energy with you. And that's why protection in general is just so important. So you want to protect yourself before you leave the house, just to have your ordinary day going to work. So shielding yourself, you know, at the start of the day, and then cleansing yourself when you come home. But protection in general is just super important, because I really do think, Aaron, some people are what I would like to call super empaths. You know, yes. I don't know that I'm a super empath, but I have definitely recognized situations where I've had a wonderful day, and then I go to the gym, or I don't know, I went to Safeway and then I come home and all of a sudden I am just freaking angry and I don't know why. And it's because I didn't shield myself properly. And I, you know, I picked up other people's emotions and I'm carrying them with me as my own personal baggage. So that's why it is extremely important for you to put protection around yourself. But also the other reason, in my opinion, you need to protect yourself is from energy vampires.
Yes.
You know, like people who I like to call, you know, succubi or succubus, the individual, right? The singular. That does exist. And, you know, it's so funny to use that term because it sounds very ancient and it sounds almost like a fairy tale. But for anybody who's wondering what a succubus is, it's one of those people you have in your life who just literally sucks the freaking life out of you, who is an energy vampire who takes all of your energy and takes and takes and takes and can't stop. It's almost pathological in a way. Like they can't stop doing that. Now, do they have, you know, an awareness that they're doing that? I don't know. But it's those people. We all have one bloodsucker. We all do, you know?
Yeah. So let me ask you, what are some signs that, you know, because sometimes you may not know if they are actually doing that to you. Have you experienced any signs or any, you know, bodily functions that may have happened to you when you're going through this or interacting with this energy sucker?
Yes. I usually feel anxiety, like in my stomach. I start to feel anxiety because I don't know how to get out of the situation, you know, because I do pride myself on being a good listener, but there is a limit. So I feel like the anxiety in my stomach, but I also start to feel very tense in my shoulders and in my neck. Like I can feel myself start to get super tense and stressed. And it's like, I just want to run and free myself. So it's almost like that flight, you know, that I want to take off and just disappear because they took my energy and then they took my soul too.
Yes, I definitely know how that one feels. For me, I guess it's a little bit different. I do feel like kind of like a nervousness in my stomach, like in my solar plexus area. And then the one huge sign for me is I mean, other than just wanting to get off the phone, I start to yawn and I feel tired and my eyes start to water. And I honestly feel drained. Like it can be instant drained. I can be completely energized. I'll feel drained, you know, for in person or even on the phone, I feel it. And I just feel like it's just draining and draining. And then as soon as, you know, I'm out of the situation or off the phone, I'm energized again and back up and running. Of course, I do have to, like, sometimes I feel like I just need to take a couple of breaths and release the energy. But I feel very tired. And the instant my eyes start to water is when I know, oh, they're draining my energy.
Yes. And that's, and it's so true too, because there usually is like a physical reaction to it because, you know, when that person, like you said, whether it's over the phone or in person, that person, like I told you, it's pathological. Like they almost can't stop. You know, it's that kind of person in your life that can't stop talking about themselves for eternity. And they never really stop to ask you who you are, how are you, and really take an interest in your life. It's just nonstop. Me, 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 me. And oh yeah, did I tell you about me? And me. Oh, and yes, me. So it's that kind of person who literally, it's like they just steal all of your physical, emotional, and mental energy. And then at the soul level too, it's like they sucked everything out and then there's nothing left but an empty shell because like you said, you're so damn tired.
Yeah.
And that's a telltale sign of having an energy vampire in your life. And so again, bringing this kind of full circle, having, you know, some sort of protection is super important to protect yourself from someone who's kind of just digging into your aura until they can dig all the way down and then steal your light and then run off with that too. It's hard when you have those types of relationships, especially if it's from your family, because you can't really, you know, escape those for forever, but you can put boundaries. So I think in terms of like protecting yourself, I also kind of wanted to bring up this whole conversation of establishing boundaries, because not only do you have to establish boundaries with the spirit world, you have to establish boundaries with people who are, you know, their spirits as well. So I wanted to ask you, because I wouldn't mind talking about establishing these boundaries with spirit, but how do you go about establishing boundaries with people to protect yourself from their energy?
Right. That is a hard one sometimes because, you know, if you're very close with someone and you start to realize that they are just draining the life out of you, Like, how do you go from having, you know, a 5-year, 10-year, you know, friendship, and then all of a sudden saying, I need some space? But so my suggestions and what I've done in the past is I just tell them, like, I think just saying it is a boundary in itself. But just say, hey, no. And that's all you got to do. No, I can't meet with you. Or no, I have, you know, some things to take care of. And you don't even have to give them an explanation. It's very hard to tell people no, you know, for sure. It's not a custom, I think, that most Americans do, because we always want to be nice and, you know, be friendly and such. But I've kind of been known as, you know, the a-hole with some of my friends, just because I will say no. And I do kind of stand my ground most of the time. And of course, I do try to do it in a friendly way. But, you know, if somebody's doing something or wants you to do something, you really don't want to do it, it's okay to say no. And you'll start to realize the people who don't respect you, because they'll get offended. Just try it. Just all you have to do is say no, or no thank you, something like that. And then you'll see if they get offended or not. And it's those people that, you know, are probably not the best to have in your life, or in your space, I should say, a lot, just because they will drain you. And they technically, you know, for I've experienced, you know, psychic vampires where I hadn't talked to the person in months, but they were still draining my energy. And I couldn't sleep, and I felt that somebody was watching me at night. And it wasn't until I got a reading from one of my friends that it was like an entity that was attached to an ex that was attached to me. So I had to do a lot of cord cutting and a lot of cleansing, and I saged the heck out of my room. I put all sorts of protection around my room. There was probably like 50,000 feet of golden light surrounding me. But the instant I knew what it was, I was able to protect myself from it, and I ended up sleeping fine. And I just, you know, my life just got a little bit better.
And I think it's, like you said, the power, like harnessing the power of no is probably your best tool, because, yeah, you know, it's not only, you know, for protecting yourself, but it's also a sign of self-respect at the end of the day. And like you said, usually you can kind of begin to weed out the people in your life who don't really respect you. And if you're not really complicit in what, you know, the way they want you to be, the way they want you to respond, then they'll fall away at some point. They'll leave your life. Right. So, you know, saying no when you really don't want to do things is super important. And I have to say, you're way skilled. You're more skilled than I am, because I have a very hard time saying no. And so I just pretend the person doesn't exist anymore. And I can't believe I'm saying that out loud.
I believe you.
And then I disappear, because I can't, I don't know. That's a growing, you know, I'm growing in that arena, but I still have yet to get there. But I do, I'm like, okay, this person has now taken my life from me for years. Now I have to just disappear. And, you know, just, I think it's just better to say no. That's, you know, I am standing up to the individual and for myself by saying no. Yeah. I don't want to do this, and no. So we don't have a lot of time left, so I wanted to jump really quick into protecting yourself from other energies that are not humans. Because yes, humans are you know, can be devious and evil and vampires and all of these other things, but there are earthbound spirits. There are other spirits here that coexist with us as well. And that's something that I think people get very confused about. People that I've met have this, you know, overarching assumption that we're here and they're there, as in they're somewhere else. However, my understanding is that all types of beings coexist. It just looks like, because we're here, you know, in the world of matter and we're physical, it looks like there are physical limitations, but that's not the reality. The reality is everything is energy. And therefore, we're all coexisting in an energetic format. And just because, you know, we are kind of limited in a sense that we can't, you know, maybe jump into another dimension and see that with our own physical eyes, you can actually see that with your, you know, spiritual eyes, if you will. Yes. You'll have the ability to see that, okay, there are earthbounds here, there are light beings here, there are darker beings here, there are what we might call aliens or whatever. So my question to you really is, how do we begin to set limits and boundaries with these other spirits?
That is a hard question to answer, just because for people who don't necessarily feel them. Like for me, I can sense them sometimes. But for me, I guess I will say I'm always on the fence. I always, you know, put protection around me, whether it's just a quick thought of like, you know, surround me in a bubble of light, something like that. You know, the ways to protect yourself, you can use sage. That'll definitely help to cleanse the room. A lot of times, you know, if you feel that there's like a negative energy around you, sage definitely helps to clear the space. Make sure you have a window open so that the sage has somewhere to go. I've made that mistake a couple of times. Another way to help cleanse energy is sound. I know sometimes if I'm feeling there's something there, I just start clapping. You can use bells. What else? I like these chimes that I call ting tings. Not sure exactly the name of them, but you know, crystal sprays. You can use crystals in sprays or crystal infused sprays, or even crystals themselves. You can ask them to protect a specific room, a space, even your body. I like to use black kyanite or black tourmaline. I have a couple of necklaces that I'll use when I need, you know, protection from anything. Another one that I like to use actually is Reiki. You know, Reiki is universal energy. It's white light energy. So if you feel there's something there, I just start, you know, doing one of the symbols, and I'll just, you know, send Reiki in that area. If I feel there's like a weird area or even in the house itself, that's one of my, you know, my go-tos, because I just like working with energy. So, you know, if you're not sure, if you feel there's like, maybe you when you're sleeping, you always feel scared, that might be a sign that there's something there. So you might want to try, you know, sage in the room first. You know, even a lemon and water spray. I haven't used that, but I've heard lemon and water spray is very effective in cleansing spaces. I think I have some sprays that have some of those ingredients as well. So yeah, that's what I've done.
Yeah, definitely. Similarly, you know, along the same lines, like for myself, when I began this practice in general, I was told, you know, even from above, that, hey, you have to put limits, you know, when it comes to interacting with other entities, because everything is present. So, you know, when you're doing this work, it's like your light is on, it's shining, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter, and other entities are very attracted to it, because, like I said, there's all kinds that we don't even know about yet, you know, we don't maybe have the proper label for. You know, or we make assumptions about their intentions. And a lot of them do want to establish contact with us, yes. Especially as you're doing this type of work. And, you know, like I said, the intention varies, but you have to be the one who decides, okay, you know, this during this part of the day, during this time only, is when I will allow myself to establish contact and make contact and have conversations with these beings. Otherwise, you have to say no at some point, because you have to remember that all of this work is, you're utilizing energy. It's all energy. So when you are even having this relationship or contact with these entities, you know, it takes a lot of your own individual energy. Thus, you still have to protect yourself and shield yourself, and set boundaries and limitations on these relationships. For a quick example here, you know, when I sleep at night, I know that there are a ton of spirits in my room, and lately it's gotten quite worse, and I don't know why. But the one thing that I was told by my guide was to put this huge bubble of light around my bed as I sleep at night every night, and then tell them out loud, hey, when I'm sleeping, you cannot interfere. You know, this is my time. Do not bother me when I'm sleeping. And this is something I've been doing a lot of lately, to kind of set up those boundaries with these spirits, because that's my time to sleep. I can't function if I don't sleep. You know, it's just, you know, a logical truth that I tell them not to bother me, don't interfere, and don't come into my dreams. Because sometimes if you don't allow them to work with you, you know, during your waking hours, they will find a way to seep into your dreams to interact with you there. So setting up those type of limits, not only with those other beings that you might not know, but even setting up limits with your guide. And that's something that people don't like to hear. But if you're somebody who's very, very clairaudient, your you know, spirit guide chiming in all the time to talk to you might not be appropriate. You might not want to hear it all the time, you know?
Why not?
Exactly.
I'll, you know? If I could hear my guide, I would be asking so many questions.
But the thing is, you know, when you are interacting with other people, and if you don't set limits, even with your guide, you know, it might distract you from what you're doing. Like, for example, let's say you're in a meeting with clients at your job, and then all of a sudden one of your guys is like, well, that guy is a clown, and that person is this, and this person is this, which I've heard does happen to people. It's going to, you know, affect your actual life. And so you actually do have to, you know, maintain boundaries with the spirit world, all spirits, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, there's I've in my research, I've read, you know, when people are praying, you know, if you believe in God and, you know, you pray to God, that your spirit guides are actually not allowed to listen while you're praying unless you invite them in to listen to that prayer, because that's like a moment between you and God, or, you know, your divine universe, whoever it is that you believe in, that they're not able to know what you're saying. Is that, have you heard of that? Is that something that you agree with as well?
That's interesting. You know, I don't know if I actually agree with that, only because from my understanding, there are no secrets. Even though on this planet, everything looks privatized and there's this difference between, like, the public versus the private. In my own understanding, in the universe, there are no such thing as secrets. So even if you asked for that prayer to be a secret between you and God, remember, God is all that is.
Yes.
So it's everything. Therefore, I feel like knowledge is shared. And even your deepest, darkest, quote unquote, secrets, I feel like your guides are privy to, because I feel like you can't block them like that. I don't know, but that's my own personal belief. Like, you can't ask your guide to step out while you're trying to bargain with God, you know?
Right. No, I mean, and I agree with you too. And I'm okay with them listening. Like, I've had some interactions, and we'll say quote altercations with my guides. And I know you don't agree with that, but, you know, I've had moments where life was just really hard, and I just kind of, you know, yelled at the wall and imagined that my guide was there. And, you know, I feel at the same time that they're there because they're trying to help me grow. And, you know, I don't feel like, hey, if I yell at my guide, that I'm all of a sudden, you know, not going to be able to help people heal or stuff like that. It's for me, and in my belief, it's, you know, still all part of the process. And, you know, I came here and I planned my life with my guide, and, you know, I know my guide is there to help me. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, a child and their mother, they argue and they fight, and then, you know, they forgive and forget and move on and continue going. So, you know, not to say that it was right for me to do that or anything like that, but it's just in the moment, I was just very angry. And, you know, with everything that I do and my beliefs, it was kind of like, why am I not getting where I need to be? Which, you know, looking back from my perspective now, it's like, I understand it. You know, I see where it led me. I see what it taught me. And sometimes that's just what it is, you know, your guide's helping you, but you may not be listening, you know, to what they're telling you, which is definitely something that I've done.
Yes, definitely. So I think, setting up, you know, limits and boundaries, not just with, you know, other energies, but yes, with your guides, with angels as well. I mean, and they will respect what you ask of them, of course. And even if you're in your time of need and you need them, they'll also appear for you. The last thing that I really wanted to say, because we were talking about protection, in terms of, you know, people, I feel like, I don't know if this is just in my mind, but I always feel like I'm more receptive. Like, if I'm trying to protect myself, yes, I can do a meditation and see myself in an egg. Yes, I can see myself protected by animals. But sometimes people want something that's a little bit more tangible. So right. I feel like, you know, an amulet of some sort might be helpful for people to wear, just as some sort of, you know, protective shield. But also the one thing that I use, and I don't even know if you're privy to this, is I utilize the evil eye to protect myself.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I don't use that, but I have heard of people using the evil eye. It's a sign of protection, right? Or a symbol of protection.
It is. And what it does, it's like your evil eye, the evil eye can somehow see the negative energies around you and repel it. So for myself, and I've been seeing this a lot lately, well, over the past few months, that I really need to be wearing that around myself lately. So I have gotten a lot of evil eye jewelry and stuff that I put in my house to repel any of the negative energies. And, you know, I know we're at the very tail end of this conversation, but, and there's so much we could say about just this one little detail itself, but finding something that you can wear that, you know, is a sign of protection for you, I think is super important. And I think it's super important for most people, because again, I think people are more receptive to having an actual object that they can use, you know, as a sign of protection against whatever's out there.
Yeah, I agree. It's easier to hold on to something. Like I said, I've had, actually have probably more pendants than I need, but everything I have is stone. Even the gauges that I have in my ear are black agate. So it's like, I have that specifically so that I'm always grounded, always protected. And I'll clean them every so often just because they're attached to my, you know, skin, but, definitely something to hold on to. I think is really, really helpful just because it's tangible and you can grab it, and it just kind of like a child and their stuffed animal helps you to feel safe.
Yes, exactly. So, Aaron, we are at the end of our podcast today, and I want to thank you so much for joining me and through this call and talking about grounding and protection. It's been very helpful, and I hope everybody who's listening, you know, either today or whenever you're listening to this conversation, finds our little tips, you know, tools and tricks very helpful for grounding and protecting. So I'll see you all in the next podcast. Have a great weekend. And Aaron, I'll see you soon. Thank you again.
Thank you. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.